Well, happy Mother's Day, as we've already mentioned. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 15, and you can stick the finger in Mark chapter 7 at the same time. It's the same story told in two different Gospels. Story of a mother who needed to have desperate faith. I read it, Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, if you read Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, you're going to find the same story there with a couple of variations in that particular story. I've called this message "The Desperate Faith of a Mother." There was a mother, friends, who had a child who desperately needed something. Something that could not be provided. She had tried all the circumstances, all the avenues that had been known to her, and she couldn't find somebody who could deal with the situation that she was facing as a mother. So she turns to Jesus. I want us to this morning to look at this faith of this mother. I want you to notice, first of all, that her faith was an unexpected faith. It says in the opening verses of this story that Jesus went to this region of Tyre and Sidon. What do we know about Tyre and Sidon? Well, friends, the region of Tyre and Sidon was basically not a place that you would expect to find a person of faith. Because Tyre and Sidon, friends, were the primary place of business in the world at that time. It would be a little bit like the Dubai or the Hong Kongs of our world today. Everybody goes to these central locations, or New York or London, these central locations which many people meet there for business. These become the central places of business, and Tyre and Sidon were those places in the ancient kingdom. Let me give you a few verses which show this for us. 2 Samuel, it says, "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messages to David, along with cedar logs and carpenters and masons, or stonemasons, and they built a palace for David." So they built it for David, then for King Solomon. King Solomon sent to Tyre and brought Hiram, whose mother was a widow from the time of Naphtali, and whose father was a man of Tyre and a craftsman in bronze. Hiram was highly skilled and experienced in all kind of bronze work. He came to King Solomon and did the work assigned to him. In the book of Ezra, which talks about the rebuilding of the temple, we read this: "Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters, and gave food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, so that they would bring logs by sea of from Lebanon to Joppa as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. And then even in Isaiah, it talks about, on the great waters came the grain of the Shiloh. The harvest of the Nile was the revenue of Tyre, and she became the marketplace of the nations. Friends, you know, oftentimes when you find people with money, you don't find God there, do you? People who've got money, they may start out as if they need God, but once they've got money, they kind of say, oh, we don't need God anymore. And sadly, this was the case of the people of Tyre and Sidon. They were a very wealthy society. It was also a place that dealt in the purple dye, which the kings used. It was a place of tremendous significance. And so, friends, it would be the last place you would expect to find a woman of faith. So, friends, this is a woman whose faith is an unexpected faith. And the wonderful truth of it, friends, and the lesson we can learn from that is that God can break through to any person in any place. God doesn't have to worry about riches or poverty or whatever it may be, friends. Even if the circumstances don't give weight to the possibility of meeting God, God can meet people there. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of going to Egypt. I may have shared this story once before. And what we discovered, friends, there is many of the converts from Islam, had come to faith because they had seen a vision of Jesus. Jesus, because they had seen that vision, none of them had been exposed to Christianity at all. Yet Jesus revealed himself to them and they became Christians for that. Friends, God can reach out regardless of where you are. He can reach you, friends, as he did for this woman. Thank you. Secondly, her faith wasn't only an unexpected faith, it was an uncommon faith. Because you see, while Tyre and Sidon were a place of business, they were also a place where people were self-sufficient. Pride was the word that you could use to describe these people. Look what it says in Ezekiel 26. In the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, because Tyre has said of Jerusalem, ah, the gates of the nation is broken and its doors have swung open to me. Now that she lies in ruins, I will prosper. See, what happened is, friends, Israel had come under attack. And instead of helping her, like Tyre and Sidon had done in the past with David and Solomon, now they said, oh, this is good business for me. This is the great business for me. In fact, a little bit later on in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 28, we have a prophecy of the fall of Satan. And the person that Satan is compared to is the king of Tyre. Look what it says in Ezekiel 28. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I'm a god. I sit on the throne of a god. and in the heart of the seas. But you're a man and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. Then a little bit further on in verse 17, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and made a spectacle of you before the kings. That's talking about Satan's fall from heaven. Friends, the people of Tyre were proud people. They were self-sufficient people. They thought they had it all. They thought they were gods themselves. And yet, in the midst of that, Yair is a woman, friends, who has faith. So her faith, friends, is not only unexpected, it's unusual. Because the usual state of people in Tyre was pride. But now she sticks her pride in her back pocket. Because this is a mother who needs an answer for her daughter. She sticks her pride in her back pocket and she runs to Jesus. And the lesson we learn from that, friends, is that God can break through even to the most lost person in this world. The people of Tyre and Sidon, friends, were lost. They were compared. The scriptures tell us the place of Tyre and Sidon. The people of Tyre and Sidon were just like the devil themselves. But God reached out. Reached out and touched the heart of a woman. And a woman, a mother, reached out to Jesus and asked him for help. Thirdly, not only was her faith unexpected and uncommon, it was groundbreaking, friends. Listen to what it says. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him. And the Mark passage says, the woman was a Greek born in Syria, Phoenicia. If ever there is a description of a woman who had no chance of ever meeting God, this was her. She was Canaanite. She was somebody, friends, who actually, as Israel moved into the promised land, should have been wiped out. But she was the remnant of the evil people left behind by the Israelites not being obedient to God and doing what God had told them to do. On top of that, she was a Greek. And friends, the Greeks themselves thought they were gods. On top of that, she was a Syrian Phoenician. So everything in her makeup, where she came from, how she grew up, where she was born, everything about this woman, friends, tells you that she was a heathen to the core. Nothing in her tells us that she could ever come into a relationship with God. In fact, friends, Jesus even talks about Tyre and Sidon as people who were far from God. Look what he says to his disciples as he sends them out to witness on his behalf in Luke chapter 10. He said, if a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you and heal the sick. As you heal them, the kingdom of God is near. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we wipe the dust of the town of our feet as a public announcement of your doom. And don't forget, the kingdom of God is near. See, Jesus is saying, friends, if you don't want to listen to me, there's no hope for you. But he says this, I tell you the truth, even wicked Sodom would be better off than such a town on Judgment Day? What horror awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have sat in deep repentance long ago, clothed in sackcloth and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. Friends, what Jesus is saying is that if you reject Jesus, if you reject the message of the gospel, you are no better than the people of Tyre and Sidon, because that is what they had done. They had rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, we learn from this that God can break through to even the most unlikely person. This person was far from Jesus in every single way, in the place they were born, in the religion, in the home of the religion they grew up in, friends. This woman, friends, had no chance of ever becoming a Christian. But she had faith. So what kind of faith did she have? Well, first of all, friends, she has desperate faith. Look what happens to this woman. In Matthew it says, a woman came to him, crying out to him, Lord, Son of David, heal my daughter. And in Mark it says, a woman who was Greek, born in Phoenicia, begged Jesus, won't you heal my child? Can you feel the pain of this woman? Can you feel the desperation in her heart? You see, she had grown up in the worldly system. The worldly system said, as long as you've got money, you're fine. The worldly system said, as long as you live in the right place, you are fine. The worldly system says, as long as you are born into the right family, you're fine. You don't need God. But this woman realized, friends, she needed God. She pleads. Friend, we all need to get that to that place. Some call it the crisis of faith. We need to get to the point, friends, where we realize nothing we have tried, nothing we have done, nothing who we have trusted in is able to save us. There is only one who is able to save us, friends. There is only one who is able to help us, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Friend, God can break through to every needy person. God's waiting with open arms. The prodigal son who thought he owned the world. He had all the money from his father. Went to a foreign place. Had all the friends that money could buy. He had everything he wanted. Fame and popularity and food and wine and women. Everything he needed, friends, until he ran out. Then he needed God. He needed to go back to his father and say, Father, I've sinned against you. And that's what this woman does, friends. She realizes her upbringing, her wealth, her place, nothing that she had, friend, is able to answer the need of her child that was demon-possessed. She realized only Jesus could answer that question. She goes to him. Fifthly, her faith, friends, was a tested faith. When she speaks to Jesus, notice what Jesus does. It seems very harsh when you read it. Verse 23 of Matthew 15, it says this, Jesus didn't answer her. He kept quiet. In fact, she became such a nuisance. She became so loud and obnoxious. Today we would call her a Karen. You know, she just kind of rah, 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 all the time. And the disciples go to Jesus and say to Jesus, please send this Karen away. She's making a lot of trouble for us. You see, friends, faith in Jesus should not be easy. You shouldn't just be able to flick your fingers and Jesus jump at you. Jesus makes it very clear, friends, that if you want to believe in Him, you need to understand that when you put your trust in Him, there is a great cost attached to that. Listen to what He says in Matthew 8. He says, when Jesus noticed a large crowd was following, He instructed the disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. When one of the teachers of the religious law said to Him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has got nowhere to rest his head. Friends, Jesus was saying to this man, are you willing to give up everything to follow me? To the other said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. Look what Jesus said. Let the spiritually dead bury the dead. Once a person has died who's not spiritual, there is nothing more you can do for that person, friends. But if you want to follow me, you must know that then you can be of use to me. Friends, her faith was tested. But friends, God can break through even to the most untrusting of us. Many of us may want to say, Lord, it's too hard to follow you. It's too difficult. This woman, she heard the voice of Jesus. Jesus didn't answer her. He kept her at arm's length. He kept on saying, by his silence, woman, you don't know what you're asking for. But she carried on and on and on until Jesus answered her. Friends, her faith was tested. Sixthly, her faith was small. There's a very harsh phrase in this passage, which sometimes is very difficult to kind of understand. Jesus says to her, why should I give you food for my children? Should I feed it to you like a dog? Doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? Doesn't sound like the heart of Jesus. He calls her a dog. You see, all Jesus was doing, friends, was using a common phrase in those days to describe unbelievers. Jewish leaders used to call the Gentiles, the Greeks, dogs, because they had no place in the kingdom of God. But look what her answer is. It's a wonderful answer. She says this, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Now, you don't pick this up in the English translation, but you would if you were able to read Greek. What she says is, Jesus, even the puppies need to eat some food. She's saying, I'm a dog, but I'm a small little dog. I've got small faith. You're rejecting those who don't care for you at all. But she says, Jesus, my faith is small. I'm just a puppy in the faith. Will you heal my daughter? Jesus uses this phrase, friends. And the wonderful truth from us, friends, is that God can meet the need regardless of how big or small our faith is. You don't need to have faith to move a mountain, friends. You just need the faith of a mustard seed. And if you put your faith the size of a mustard seed in Jesus, friends, He will give you a faith to move a mountain. That's what He will do. Yes, this desperate woman, Lord, I don't know where else to turn. The only place I can go is to You. But gloriously, friend, the message ends off very positively. Because the final thing we learn about her faith is that her faith was a rewarded faith. Jesus says to her, woman, even though she says to Jesus, I've only got the faith of a puppy, Jesus says to you, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed. Mark chapter 7. For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Friends, the woman was rewarded by having her request answered. Sometimes, friends, we need persistent faith. You remember the story Jesus told of the parable of the persistent widow. It says this, in a certain town there was a judge who didn't fear God or cared about man. But there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him and pleaded with him, grant me justice and mercy against my adversary. For some time he refused. For a long time he said, no, 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 no. But friends, she was so persistent, she was so demanding, she kept on going back to him over and over and over and over again. In the end, the judge says, okay, your case is answered. Friend, what kind of faith do you have? Friend, sometimes our faith is just small. We don't need a big faith, friends. We just need a persistent faith. We need a faith that goes to God over and 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 over again. The desperate faith of a mother. She saw a child. The child had a need. She knew the only place she could go was Jesus, friends. What's your need today? What do you need answered today? What do you need to bring before God? What do you need to come before Him today and say, Lord, please help me with this area. Friend, you too. Your faith may be a desperate faith. Perhaps it's a job. Perhaps it's financial need. Perhaps it's whatever it may be, friend, a child that is wayward. Whatever it may be, friend, if you have the desperate faith like this mother had, God is ready to answer you and answer your need. Let's pray together. Lord, what an amazing story of a woman who desperately needed you to intervene in her life. Thank you that you did that, Lord. Thank you that you didn't make it easy, Lord, but thank you for reminding us to be persistent in our faith. to approach you on a regular basis, presenting our need before you, Lord, and waiting expectantly, Lord, like this mother did. Thank you that we know as we do that, Lord, your name will be honored and our prayers will be answered. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.